your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to communicate the gospel to the people that God has placed in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and people you meet along the way. And today, your training begins. I want you to take your copy of the scriptures this morning and turn with me to Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew in chapter 28. Today, we will explore the assignment that has been given to every follower of Jesus Christ. This is not an issue of gifting, my friends. This is an issue of obedience. Matthew in chapter 28. Before we just dive in the middle of this chapter, let's take a look at the context here. We will see our place in the scripture here is the end of Matthew. Christ has gone to the cross. He was nailed there to die for your sin. And there he died. He did not just shed blood, my friend. The shedding of blood is referencing his death. He died in our place, a sacrifice. And they put him in a tomb. But when we come to Matthew 28, we see the Marys, a group of Marys going to the tomb, only to discover that it is empty. And an angel who meets them there instructs them that Jesus has indeed risen and sends them to the disciples in order that they might meet Jesus in Galilee. So Christ has died for this sin, the sin of the world, my friends. He died for every thought, action, and rebellion in your life, that you might be forgiven, that you might be given a new life, that you might be given a new mission, as it were. Well, this angel has instructed them that Jesus, of course, has risen, sends them to this meeting. And some Bible scholars equate this mountain meeting that we're about to read in Galilee with the appearance of the Lord was to more than 500 brethren at one time, referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. So the ordinary average believers there, not just the 11, people like me, people like you, wherever you are in your faith, there isn't a one of us here that knows we could do better, that we could be more disciplined, that we could spend a little more time with the things that truly matter in this world. And here we are in chapter 28 and verse 16. And Jesus with his disciples on the mountain. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And so what we find here is that they met where they were instructed to meet. My friends, obedience puts you in the place where God would have you to be for the next step. By ignoring God's instruction, by pushing away the Spirit of God's leading, you miss the great opportunity that is right before you. And so they met right where they were instructed to be. And look at here in Matthew 28, verses 5 to 7, that account I just referenced. But the angel said to the women, these Marys, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Now come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And they met the resurrected Jesus there. But I want you to notice here in verse 17, there was a mixed reaction to this meeting. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. They worship. What is worship? You know, one of the things that that we learn by our experience is that by coming to church, and they call that worship, so sitting in a chair and singing along is worship. It's not, my friends. Worship is an expression of praise, an expression of God's worthiness of all that you are, not just your words, but your thoughts behind them and your action. It doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning. It shouldn't just happen on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning ought to be the accumulation of all of those desires to worship, to celebrate, to recognize who God is and what He has done. When we come here, friends, He is worthy of getting here early, even preparing your voice. Is God not worthy of this? In your own heart, in your own mind right now, is God not worthy that you might give Him your best worship? Some of them worshiped, but others doubted. Well, they certainly weren't alone. We recall Thomas, even with the Lord Jesus resurrected right before him. Now, I don't know if I can believe this unless I can touch the nail prints in your hands or put my hand where they put that spear. Doubting Thomas, I don't know if I can believe this. It may not have been the 11 that doubted. Again, recommended that perhaps there were some 500 people who had appeared here. And so there was a mixed reaction at this meeting. But friends, we didn't come to talk about what they thought about the seeing the resurrected Christ. We are in this passage because we need to know this new mandate that Jesus gave to those who follow Him. Listen carefully, my friends. This is not opinion. Look right there in the scriptures. And we notice this new mandate is based on Jesus' authority. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me." And here is the assignment in light of this authority to send even me and even you. Go therefore. In light of this truth, go therefore and make disciples. The assignment, the command that God has given to everyone who follows Him is to make disciples. I want to pause and consider that for just a moment here, my friends. Some of you have been following Christ for an awfully long time, maybe since youth. And I would ask you to evaluate whether or not this is a surprise to you, this instruction, this great commandment that is so called. But this command is no greater than any other command that Christ has given. What has been your investment in making disciples? You know what a disciple is someone who follows Christ. They hear the good news that Christ had died for their sin and He rose from the dead, and they put their faith in Him and begin to follow Him, following His commands, His instruction, and certainly His example. What has been your investment in making disciples? Well, my friends, I want to remind you that this is precisely what Christ has called us to do. Based on His authority, He has given us this assignment to go, therefore, and make disciples, where? Of all nations. What about Bangkok? Yeah, how about that? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So there it is. You go make disciples. And then what? Baptize them. Remember, baptism is the coming out party. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not a secret follower. I don't hide in the shadows. I don't keep it to myself. When I'm eating lunch in public, I tend to rub my eyebrows, you know, and people just think I'm in deep thought because I don't want anybody to know I might be praying to the King of Kings, the the creator of all things, the source of all blessing in my life, I surely don't want anyone else to know. My friends, make it public. Some have put it this way, plant your flag. To whom do you stand with? Is it Christ? Make him known. Make him known. Baptizing, first step. Teaching, and there it is right there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, means to do or to keep, has a lot to do with obedience there, my friends. All that I have commanded you. And you know what God commanded you? Is to go make disciples. It starts with a question. If you were to die today, what would come next for you? Simple question. Lots of transitions. We're going to learn them, friends. How to turn a conversation into spiritual things. We're going to learn it. I hope you buckle up, and I hope you come ready to take notes. We're going to learn how to do what Christ has called us to do. And so there is the mandate to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them and to observe all that I have commanded you. And with this command comes this assurance. And behold, that word behold, it sounds like a Bible word. Bible says behold all the time. The Greek word is idou. It is a word that indicates you're not going to believe this. I mean, this is incredible. What I am about to tell you right here should knock your socks off. I am with you always. Wherever it is you go, whenever it is you choose to open your mouth to communicate the gospel, I am right there. When you go to do what I have called you to do, you will never go alone. The Spirit of God working. Consider this for just a moment. If you are prepared and equipped to communicate the gospel anytime, anywhere, to anyone, wouldn't you anticipate that the Spirit of God is going to bring people into your life to listen? Yeah, we often think about this. Oh, I don't want to talk to people. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what they're going to think. They might... I mean, just this week, you know, was out talking to Mr. Moore, working hard, and a guy comes walking up to the building, and I said, boom, here's someone who needs to hear the gospel. God brought him right into my life. What if you see people that way? This could be someone who needs to hear the good news that Christ died for their sin, that they can be free from guilt and death. All they need to do is trust Christ. So we got in the car and we had a conversation, my friends. Make disciples. Make disciples. You know, Jesus said, he related this whole concept to like fishing. You know what fishing looks like? I'm not a big fan of fishing, but I know how it works, you know. You throw out the bait. It's what you do, you know. You don't go fishing, you'll never catch fish. But not every fish wants your bait. You know, are you offended when you go fishing and they don't get out? You're like, man, these people must hate me. Man, I am suffering because these fish don't like me. No, sometimes fish bite, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it takes a little while. That thought needs to roll around in their head a little bit. I mean, I grew up in the church. I mean, I was just as far back, I have the bulletin where they announced my birth. They use the metaphor of another player on the team, so to speak, you know, at baseball. I grew up, I learned the stories. You know, I knew the books of the Bible, and none of that changed my heart. But one day, one night, in the summertime, when the stars were in the sky and all of those things that have been deposited suddenly became useful to me, I knew that Christ died for my sin. I mean, who doesn't know that Jesus died on the cross and he died there for you and me because of our sin? And I asked Christ to forgive my sin and to give me a new life. And whatever it looks like, I don't care, I'll follow. And I did. Invest, my friends. Be a teller. Tell people what Christ has done for you. And I guarantee you this, I am with you always, as the words that Jesus spoke, even to the ends of the age. And there it is. Go and tell. Not show and tell, go and tell. How about a little show and tell on top of it, my friends? Let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Live it and speak it. I know some people, their strategy for evangelism is, well, I always try and be good, and my car driveway is always empty on a Sunday morning. No one will be in heaven because you had an empty driveway, my friends. Open your mouth. You know what the gospel is. And in the next several weeks here, we're going to learn three different methods to present it. Some of you, this will be old hat. Some of you, I will count on you to encourage the people around you. But we're going to learn how to be those who go and make disciples. Communicate the gospel. Bring them into the church. Help them discover their spiritual gift and find a place to love, be loved, and obey what God has called us all to do. So this is it. Do you sense even right now, my goal here this morning was for every one of us to understand that this is your responsibility to go and communicate the gospel. I know you're tempted. I'm not. That's not me. Yeah, if you're a follower of Christ, it's you. It's not my gift. There is no gift of evangelism. There is a gift of an evangelist, but there is no gift of evangelism. This is an issue of obedience. Today, I want you to wrestle with that. Will you obey God in this manner or will you not? Make it crystal clear in your own mind. The people that God has brought in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I would rather you do it. Great. You introduce me to all of your friends. Have a sit down at dinner time and say, hey, my pastor got a message for you. You up for that? All of your family and all, hey, I'm in. But what about you? Is it not worth it? I mean, is your life in Christ so dry and so empty that you don't want to share what you have with someone else? And even if it's not, Christ has commanded us. This is an issue of obedience, my friend. And so I tell you this, if I haven't told you already so many times, every disciple of Jesus is commanded to go make disciples. Go and tell. Go and tell. No excuses. You have all of the resources of heaven. When God commands, my friends, he enables. When you commit yourself to open your mouth and communicate the gospel, the life-changing, eternity-changing gospel, you have all of the resources of heaven behind you. And if you're not, my friends, you are missing out on some really great experiences to see how the Spirit of God will work through your bumbling and poor memory and all of the other shortfalls you may have. But all of the resources of heaven are behind you. Number two, get equipped. Get equipped. Get equipped. We're going to, again, learn some methods to communicate the gospel in different ways to different people, different times, different circumstances. You're going to learn what the gospel is, not as if you don't already know, how to present it, how to turn the conversation to spiritual things. You know, I mean, that's that I want to share the gospel. I don't know how. They're talking about football. How in the world do we get to Jesus? I'm going to teach you some methods for that, my friends. Some things I'm going to encourage you to memorize. You know, one of the things that we might work on is, has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? Really? I can know for sure I'm going to heaven? What are you talking about? Well, let me show you. Lots of different ways. We might even ask some people who are faithful in this to share some of their experiences. Consider, my friends, get equipped how to turn the gospel to spiritual things, and finally, get going. Get at it. Start thinking about it. Do some research about it. Come prepared. And as always, should you mess up and feel really nervous about this and receive harsh rejection by those whom you've attempted to evangelize, the Lord of all creation, who died for your sin and rose from the dead, will never leave you or forsake you, but will be with you. Friend, this isn't about location. This is about investment. He will be with you to the end of the age. This message, my hope is it will rattle through your head all week long. It'll come up in conversations. Things on the radio will refresh your memory about what we've spoken about today. My hope is here today, we won't raise hands and take a vote, but that you will say yes to God in this matter. God, I don't know how. I'm not sure I can. But if you've called me to do it, I will do the best I can to get equipped and be willing to speak. What's it going to be, friends? One day you will stand before him and you will give an account for this. You had a pastor who preached his guts out, encouraging you to be a part of this. Friends, this is not about heaven and hell. This is about reward. It is my hope that every one of you will stand before him and he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Enter into the joy of our Lord."